Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Welcome.
The West Tigers have come from nothing.
The Sharks have come out to
the Cowboys. Bulldogs are on fire. Roosters are giving them a training list.
Here comes South.
For Ream Hot Water. Triple M Footy.
Welcome back, Sunday Triple M NRL, live across the Triple M network, doing Origin. We'll be live at Origin 2 on Wednesday night, and I'm talking Paul Kent, I'm talking Gordy Tallis, James Hooper, Anthony Maroon. But when we talk about Origin, the birth of Origin, Origin royalty,
yes.
We talk about this man who was there at the very, very beginning, and we love him dearly. Wally Lewis, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Yeah, thank you, boys. Yeah, it's good to join you.
Hey, Wally, when I say, you know, you were there at the very beginning, I wonder if you ever take a minute to... you know, to reflect on what a monster you've helped create with all this.
Ah, boy, it was it's a monster now, but basically it was seen as a game that was perhaps the saviour of rugby league, or certainly representative of rugby league, because it was a game that that we, you know, bragged about for a long time, saying if you give us our players back, we might be able to beat you. And thankfully, it became much more than that. It became an outstanding promotion for rugby league, basically worldwide now. I'm down here at the Tugan Beach at the moment. I'm speaking to a group of English people who have come across to watch State of Origin football.
Wow.
They do it every year. There's over 100 of them in this touring party, and they just keep asking questions about what was it with State of Origin. I said, well, basically it became something that and that was the saviour for rugby league, that developed into some of the most magnificent games of rugby league that we'll ever experience in our lifetime.
Well, just one more question down memory lane, if you don't mind. We saw Tommy Radonigus inducted into the New South Wales Hall of Fame during the week. He's obviously not in great health now, poor old Tommy. And you played against him in that first game. Do you have recollections of playing against Tommy? Because I'm sure you would have known all about him when you ran out onto the field.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that I used to have a bit of a fear factor there for him, because Tom, we often used to say that he could be playing against his mum on the football field, and he'd just smash up against her and wait till full time till he asked how she was feeling. Just get into it, become as aggressive as possible, but make sure that he didn't let emotion play any role in the game. To play against him was an absolute thrill. That was fantastic. And then, of course, he got to come up and play in the Brisbane club competition at one stage, and also coach. And it was an experience to play against him at Origin level. I've got to say that you know, he was one of those guys that helped build. Arthur Beetson gets a lot of credit for it, but Tom certainly deserves plenty of that. The emotion that used to be attached with every performance for Tom was at a record level. He never used to let friendship or lack of it play much of a role.
Hey, Wally, you inspired so many Queenslanders. What does this time of year mean to someone like yourself?
That we get the chance to be able to display a little bit of pride in our state, Gordy, and I'm sure you've done that on numerous occasions, where you go out there and without being disrespectful, the one thing that I always like to think about is when we go out and represent Queensland, if we chalk up a win, we all walk off and we feel very proud in our performances on the footy field. If we lose a game, the great thing is that the fans don't turn on us. They'll be there in support the next time around. Mm-hmm. What it means to me in black and white, Gordon, is that we get the greatest challenge of our football lifetime. And we'll go out there and we'll play in a game that will be played at the highest level, and you realise that if you manage to achieve success during that 80 minutes, you're going to sit there and feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof, but then quickly realise that you've only got another one game to wait until you're back up there again, and probably having that fear of losing a match, because they are the greatest level of football matches that we've ever experienced.
Yeah. Hey, mate, what about, mate, I'm talking to these Palookas down here from New South Wales, and they're begging Kevin not mentioning New South Wales. And mate, you were my first Origin coach, and you know, we didn't talk about New South Wales that much back then. Is it a new theory on not mentioning your opposition?
Well, I guess it could be. Every question that that has been put at a press conference up here has been, why is he doing it? What's the problem? What's the biggest drama? The one thing that I'd like to smile about, Gordon, I'm sure that you realised it as well, is that nobody's talking about the players. Are they saying, you know, have you got the fear of failure coming up? There's no doubting their performance in this game. There's been very few questions about, do you feel like you've got a team that's not quite as good as the ones that we've seen in recent history. So Kevin's been quite prepared to take all of the brunt up front and deal with it. And I think that's been pretty good. It's a relatively inexperienced side in a lot of areas for Queenslanders, but then they're not going to offer that on as an excuse. This one's going to be a pretty tight game.
But surely, Wally, come on, just let us in on the secret, because I remember a famous story. I remember a famous story, Wally, where one night you're captaining Queensland and you go to knock on Arthur Beetson's door in the hotel the night before the game, and you open the door and Arthur's in there playing cards with Jack Gibson, the New South Wales coach.
he was, and I don't think it was any surprise what I said. I said, Arthur, what the are you doing in here with him? And I heard this, oh my, just don't tell anybody. And then Jack just said, hurry up, Arthur, play your hand. I'm not waiting any longer. And I thought, this is unbelievable. And the next day, I can remember I was still shaking my head at Beetson. And he said, mate, he said, I beat him at cards. That means that we're a fair chance of beating him in a football game. And he just said, mate, if you don't mind, don't go telling too many of the players. And I said, OK, I'll try not to do that. But that was kind of taking the... he would have said later on, I'm damn sure, Beetson, that he would have been pissed. My loyalty that I didn't go around telling anybody about it, but to be honest, I was sitting there just shaking my head in disbelief. I thought, how could you do that? The next, you'll probably be saying to me now, why don't you grab a New South Wales captain and you go and have a game of cards with him? Yeah. That wasn't ever going to happen, and I think I'd be fairly confident in saying one Gordon Tallis wouldn't have spent too much time in a room the night before a State of Origin game playing a nice friendly game of cards with his opposing captain.
Never.
The funny thing is, though, Wally, because when we speak of the rivalry, your venom towards New South Wales was stronger than anybody's. So I imagine it must have just shocked the pants out of you that night.
I was bewildered. Arthur, he was one of those blokes, though, that I got to sort of learn just as much about life as I did about football, and the way that different people used to approach it. He used to say, mate, you know, and he got, I can remember he was telling me a story about Jack and how much respect that he had as a mate and as a football coach, and he often described him as the best that there was. He basically was almost trying to say that he was trying to see what Jack was thinking. I don't think that was ever going to come out too successfully over a game of cards. But interesting to see how different people do things in a very different manner, particularly when they're just 24 hours away from a life-changing experience.
Do you think it can make an impact, though, in the mindset of players not mentioning something, or can it have a, can it be, you know, can it counteract against it?
Well, yeah, I see what you mean there. But there were times I must admit when I thought that my own form was a little bit wobbly, and I used to keep just three things in my mind that I wanted to try and achieve throughout the course of the game, and there wouldn't have been anything to do whatsoever with sort of talking about the opposition. I had to get what I wanted to do on the field at a level that I was going to be quite comfortable with. So, but I guess, you know, we've seen the game change in dramatic ways, shapes and forms over the years, and every time that it seems to have an alteration, I guess we talk about that this is the new way of doing it. Well, I don't think we're ever going to be critical of the way that different people see it as perhaps the right path to follow. That's certainly up to them. If it works, well, they can be geniuses, new age guys that have brought that in. But it certainly wasn't the case that would have been welcome back in the days when I was playing or where Arthur Beetson was. Perhaps if there had been a little bit of an invitation to go to a all-you-can-eat meal before a game, the buffet, that might have been the case. Because I can tell you, I loved Arthur Beetson's company, loved hearing everything about what he thought about the game, loved what he thought the best form of attack would have been and defence. But there's one time I did not want to be within cooey of him, and that was when it came to eating. He had the elbows out to the side, and if he didn't get in and eat as much as he possibly could at the buffet, you knew that he wasn't in a good mood or feeling too well. So it was a good time to stay away from him.
And the funny thing about all this too, Wally, is if Kevy goes in and wins Series 3-0, well, suddenly there won't be a coach in the country that actually mentions the opposition anymore.
Yeah, that's right. And there'll probably be a whole pile of people that'll be saying, it was a bit of a surprise, I must admit. But I guess it was a different way of approaching it. So they'll suddenly see that he was correct. But there might be a bit of pressure attached to it. I guess, but the way that I've sort of seen it is that Kev's got his own plans in mind, and why should he have to explain them before the teams go into action? That's not something that should ever be in place. He's got the right to have his own beliefs, his ideas, and it could be an absolute thrill for the team to put those into place. It may be disappointing. Only time will tell. But if we're that good at making predictions, we should stick to predicting what the lotto numbers are going to be every weekend.
Yeah, because you used to often say Blues when you were playing, but often had an adjective attached to it, I think. Is that fair to say?
I was talking about that tin that was a long way away, that far can that was a long way away, that was the one,
Hey, Wally, when you were playing and you wore the number 6 maroon jumper, every kid in Queensland wanted to wear it. The bloke who's wearing it now, Cameron Munster, what do you want to see out of him on Wednesday night?
That he continues. I think he's got fantastic vision. I keep my eye on him a lot because I like to see just how much he tries to read in the play, how far ahead. But I want him to be able to use his ability, not to hang back, not to wait for things to occur. The champions of the game are the ones that don't wait for an opportunity to take place. They're the ones that force it. To be a part of the game and a real benefit for their side. Try and turn the game at every opportunity possible. And if it's been quite successful for him previously, which it has for both Queensland and Melbourne Storm in particular, use your talents. Why waste them? They've been wonderful for so long. He's a great player, and I think that now he's becoming sort of one of the real leaders of the team. We're not going to have too many problems in seeing him put those into effect.
Is he going to be the key for Queensland, do you think, Wally? Munster?
He's got to be. I probably see that it's 1, 6, 7, 9 all of the time. They're the ones that have got to play an important role in the game. So certainly he does fit into that. But he's going to need to have some sort of partnership with the fullback, the halfback, and the hooker. Achieving success is easier said than done if you do it as an individual, but particularly when you're working as a team, it does become a little easier.
Hey, Wally, just to take you back to your career, you got Mel Meninga on one side and Gene Miles on the other, and you got a score. Who do you pass the ball to?
Could have given it to either one of those. I was hoping that you were going to say, if you needed a brick wall knocked down, which one would you give it to? Well, you'd probably give it to Mel. He'd knock it over. Gino used to say that, I'd let Mel do all that hard work. I'd do the easy stuff. Both wonderful players. I never thought that Gino got the due credit. that he deserved. He was fantastic, but they were both sensational players who gifted that Queensland team. And again, Gordy, I know we've done a couple of speaking engagements, functions together. You've heard me give those guys an enormous rap. Because I probably got a lot of the credit that wasn't due to come my way. When you're having guys as strong that created so much trauma for the opposition defence in planning it and executing it, it certainly made my role a hell of a lot easier.
Well, Wally, we know you've got a big schedule this afternoon. You've got that speaking gig there at Tugan, and we always love speaking to you, mate. All the very best to you, and all the very best. I hope you enjoy Wednesday night.
Thanks, boys. We enjoy every Origin match, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah, good on you. There he is, the King, Wally Lewis, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. You know what? I didn't get to ask him, Kenny, because you blokes wouldn't let me get a word in. But you know what? I've always wanted to ask Wally, and I don't even know if you blokes, you might have the answer here, Gordy. I'm sure he'll have something. We always talk about that first Origin side, Choppy Close, Gene Miles, Mal Meninga, I think blokes like Brucey Astle, who we don't even
Rod
hear
Reddy,
of again.
Rod Reddy, Johnny Lang, Arthur. But I think Colin Scott.
The coach was a bloke named John McDonald.
John McDonald, yeah.
Now, we never hear anything of him since. Do you know the John McDonald story?
He's been on the Queensland... He was on the Queensland board for years.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, who knows
fact,
who's
probably
on
probably only retired... Four or five years ago.
Who knows, yeah. Who knows who's on the board? I wouldn't know who's
no,
on...
No, so, John McDonald was there when Ross Livermore was there. They were the two guys that were running Queensland. They were around for a long time. When I was playing, there was a bloke named Dud Beattie.
Yeah.
And he was a front rower that played for Australia. They grew up in Ipswich, a really tough guy. So,
did John McDonald coach at club level up there? I think perhaps he might have. There was a John McDonald coaching Manly.
I think he played for Manly, yes. Yeah, so that's a guy that went and played for Manly, yes. Mm. So that's the John McDonald that was with Queensland involved.
My favourite story from that very first game is when Queensland were picking their team, and as we all know, there was opposition from New South Wales. They didn't want to do it. Finally, Kevin Humphreys, who I don't think gets enough respect for it, Ron McAuliffe had been pushing for the game for some years. New South Wales Rugby League, which was had been saying, no, we don't need it. We don't, our competition's going fine. And Kevin Humphreys, to his eternal credit, said, look, if we don't do something like this, the game could die. We need to fix it. So he said, yeah, we're gonna go ahead with it. And even though few people know this, but New South Wales had a lot of withdrawals for the first Origin game before game one because players just didn't care about it, weren't interested in playing. The interstate games had become a bit of a muck around, and certainly that was, we all know the history New South Wales had looked at that point of view for some time. But when the Queensland board got together and Ron McAuliffe called in John McDonald as the coach, he said, we're going to have an Origin game. He said, I don't care who you pick, but Beaton is your captain.
Wow.
And that was his one rule.
And he picked the rest of the team, John McDonald.
He picked the rest of the team, but Artie, who wasn't playing great for Parramatta at the
reserve
time.
Reserve grade, I think.
Reggie's, wasn't
he? No, he had. He wasn't at the time. Right. He
went back to reserve grade. I think Parramatta didn't want him to play it, and then he went back into reserve grade. I don't think he came out of reserve grade. Yeah. So, but Big Arthur, what was he, 34, 35?
Jack was the coach.
Yeah.
No. Johnny Peer was the coach, actually.
Oh, 1980, John Peer was the coach. They didn't make the finals that year, Para.
No, they didn't.
Okay, that's good. We'll have plenty of time to talk more about this. And what we'll do a little bit later on is just open the floor up to these three blokes and let them talk Origin without anyone on the line. Just get their thoughts. But up next, we need to lighten things up a bit with a little thing I like to call. It's just picked up another major radio award in Djibouti. And so too, where did you say, Hoops? It's picked up one.
Chinese Taipei
through the week as well. Wow.
Townsville have come second.
And did it?
Yeah, mate, up in North Queensland Maroon. Steve Price beat us.
Okay.
Yeah.
the former Canterbury player.
I call BS is next as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's. Get your boots out! Triple M footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Yeah, we do have one game this afternoon. That game is Gold Coast Titans versus the North Queensland Cowboys. They're on a bit of a roll at the moment, the Cowboys, so it should be a good game this afternoon. Right now, the ladder as it stands at the top, Storm and Rabbitohs on 20, Roosters on 18, Knights 14, but they are just going from strength to strength, Newcastle. Sharks 14, Raiders 12, Manly 12, and Parra 12. Then just outside the 8, they're catching them. Broncos 12, Tigers 12, Warriors 10, Cowboys and Dragons 10, Panthers 8, Titans and Bulldogs down there on the bottom of the ladder on 6 points. Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis live in our Gold Coast studio. Best part of the world, the old Goldie, Gordy. If I lived
love
in,
it.
I love to live there.
Yeah, what, are you pitching for a job?
I'm not pitching for a job, but I'm going to probably
get a joint studios, up there one day. Look, and, it's a great spot.
Yeah.
Love the Gold Coast.
And Broadbeach Tea.
I can't surf.
Plenty of restaurants.
Don't really like the ocean because I nearly drowned in a bath. But, yeah, it's a good spot.
Imagine you down at the beach. Be like kids would think a yeti had come out of the sand dunes, wouldn't they, with the hair on your body? Gordon?
No? Yeah, no, mate, I heard you. Yeah. No, mate, yeah. No, mate, I heard you. You just thought you said something
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, yeah, well, listen, mate, I'll get in first today. It's time for this.
He's brave from 1,000 kilometres away, isn't he, Gordon?
Oh, isn't it what? Don't take your glasses off. I'll punch around.
Yeah, them. Good on you.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Yeah, well, this is it. You know this segment. This is the award-winning segment that's had us in court. It's had us in court all over the world. But it's won many, many awards. Caused a lot of controversy. It's what people will be talking around the water coolers tomorrow at work. Who wants to call bullshit first? Paul Kent, James Hooper or Gordon Tallis, who would like to call BS first?
The boys in the studio. Go on, Kenty.
I'll call bullshit about Payne Haas. Even now, first Origin camp, he's already talking about going to the NFL. I think that's just disrespectful. I think the fact is that, mate, we all get your professional football, you've got a limited career, all that sort of rubbish, but there's a time and place. And I think after 10 NRL games, you've been catapulted into an Origin game. I think you should be a little bit more respectful. In fact, I call bullshit on Gordon trying to pretend trying to defend Bradley Charles Stubbs. I just think that, Gordon, everything I know about you, you're a man who really is not about all this sort of rubbish, but just suddenly you've fallen for it because of what, a little bit of maroon tint to it this time.
Yes.
So I think that's, yeah, mate. So you can wear one today. I also think Todd Greenberg should wear one too. I was reading a paper yesterday and Greenberg was saying how he thinks Cooper Cronk would one day be a future leader of the game when he's recommended to him because Cronk asked him a question one day that he quite liked. Seriously, if this is what it takes these days, in fact, I think this is what it does take these days to get a job in at NRL headquarters. Ask one right question and suddenly they think you're qualified. That'll do me.
Yes.
Yeah, Gordy. We're going to get Payne Haas's mother to beat you up.
would you like to call BS?
We know she's
on
up
anything.
For it.
Hoops. Would you like to call? Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's topical. Hoops, would you like to call?
Anthony, not for the first time this year. I think it's actually about the 99th time.
Yeah.
I'm going to call BS on you. Because today, right, you just out of nowhere concocted a nickname for one of the young gun Canberra forwards, Corey Horsburgh. I've just been in touch with the Raiders, right? Now, you declared earlier that Corey Horsburgh's nickname was the Freckle, and you also came up with a catch cry, don't heckle the Freckle.
That's right.
I've been in touch with the Raiders. You have completely concocted that. They said, we have never heard anybody call him that. His nickname is Big Red.
Well,
that's
so sorry,
BS.
Anthony, but
I have got pages upon pages of correspondence here from people from the Caboolture area, from Redcliffe, Deception Bay, Murrumba Downs, saying, yes, high school, Murrumba we call him the Freckle.
Maybe Deception Bay is the clue that you're being misled.
No, it's definitely the Freckle. But anyway, I like that you
if
went...
If not, it will be.
It is now. No, it's definitely don't heckle the Freckle. Gordon, would you like to call BS?
Yeah, I'm going to call BS on you, Maroon. So I get a text, hey, mate, it's at the same time because, you know, when you didn't pick me up from the airport, I said, no, mate, I'm doing Fox today. Well, then you've bombarded me, and I'm not going to read out your whole text, but when I stop talking, you can fill in the blanks.
Right.
I'm glad you're on TV. Take those other two with you.
That's these two.
I'm sick of seeing your face, and you all got no talent. It's Fox full of people with no talent.
No, I did not say.
And I
Fox
said, listen, mate. And then my text came back. Hey, I don't know why you feel that way. I've been pushing really hard to get you a slot on Fox.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Mate, I've been pushing really hard to get you a slot on Fox and maybe your own podcast.
Yeah.
And then you've come back at me again.
And I said, I don't want a job on Fox because I see enough of you blokes. I don't want to see any more.
But there was all these other words in there. So there you are. So I'm trying to help a poor bugger out because I know that you're struggling, you know, these days. You know, and I'm trying to help you out and you bombard me. And I'm want to call bullshit on Kenty with this whole coach thing, right? The article come from...
Hey, no.
Stubbs didn't get paid that amount of money. It's actually a non-story. It's actually a non-story who they get in. The greatest coach in our time had a bloke named Phil. Phil Joyncey used to come in and talk, and Radio Gordo, this is what we're doing. this was this Dr. Phil that used to come and hang around us for ages. Well, this is what you got to do, Gordo. And he would talk to me, and fair dinkum, he could have been talking to the wall because none of it was going in my ears and out. So you got to get what you want out of it. And if it's helped the Roosters win the comp and it's helped South and they've won a comp, maybe there might be something in it, Paul. Do you know how you're a little bit negative? Maybe you got to go see Stubbsy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay for you to go spend an hour.
He's going to pay.
Well, you know what? I'll put my headphones on and I'll sit there for an hour listening to a bit of AC/DC or something.
While he's charging you five and a half thousand an hour. And that's another thing, right? So, you know, you're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to be manly when you listen to that type of music. I know that you walk in all the time and you think that you're an AC/DC or a Johnny Cash fan. Stop listening to Milli Vanilli. That is you.
Mate, you can't make stuff up.
Mate, you walk in with Johnny Cash. Maroon does it all the time.
Oh, God.
What sort of show would we be if we made stuff up?
Yeah. Oh, Maroon and Milli?
Now, for those who don't know, Maroon and Milli was a breakfast show in Wollongong about 20 years ago.
It's spelt Maroon, right?
Why do you call it
Maroon?
Even Freddie pulled you in. It's Maroon's how you say it. Maroon.
It's Maroon.
M-A-R-O-O-N, Maroon, right?
Maroon. Now, You're a moron. Yours is spelt moron.
Well, and now he's going to have a crack at me. What have I done? Well, anyway, that's why this is an award-winning segment. I call BS. But most importantly, as I say, we get across my office desk all week, all sorts of correspondence, emails, letters, snail mail. What's going on with Kenty's possum?
But hold on, I got one more BS because I was in Triple M on Friday, right? Yeah. Friday morning,
which
and
Triple
I walked
M?
In there.
What city?
In Sydney.
Right.
Walk past the studio with you and Gussie and Pagey and all the boys are in there doing their fantastic grill team show or maroon show or whatever it's called.
I don't even know what it's called.
But I walk past all those ladies that sit in those desks and you told them that Kenty, Hoops and myself steal all their food off their desk. Yes, you did.
Mate.
That there is honest. I said, ladies, listen, if anything goes missing, Maroon walks around here all day and they said, he walked in and said it was you guys.
Yeah.
And
can I just say to Triple N listeners all over the state of Queensland and New South Wales, this bloke is Burko. Don't listen to a word he says. We'll take a break and we'll come back.
Stop stealing, Maroon.
With a possum update, a brand new segment called Hello Possums. It's having a couple of minutes away. Triple M Rocks Origin.
Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
And welcome right across the Triple M network. Yeah, we are your home for Origin in 2019. Dan's going to call that big game for you on Wednesday night with a team of experts. And we will be there for you live Brisbane Wednesday night. So if for some reason you're working, you're in the car, you've got to do something where you can't sit in front of the telly, this is where you're going to catch all the action live across the Triple M network. Now, so far this round, we've had wins to Penrith over an understrength Manly, Parramatta over an understrength South Sydney, and then Raiders back on the winning list yesterday. And that's all thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. Go and see them. Get great advice on tyres. Get your car in order for the school holidays. I don't know when they are, but there's always school holidays around the corner, isn't there? Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, James the Human Tricep Hooper, and Maroon. And most of our correspondence this week has been about Kenty's possum. He's had a possum loose in his roof. It's kept him up at night for about the last 6 weeks. He's done everything he can. He's used dog food. He's used sweets, he's used fruit, everything in the possum trap, but no catching the possum. Where are we at with this possum, Kenty?
Oh, you love this, don't you? Look, I tell you what happened this week. I rang Possum Busters and I said, mate, you got to come and get, because I've tried dog food, marshmallows, apples with peanut butter, all the different things they tell you to use. He wouldn't go in the trap. He figured out the trap. At one point, he got in and got out without the trap keeping him in somehow. But anyway, so Possum Busters came round. He put a little trapdoor in the roof. And I said to the bloke, he said, mate, he'll be out. You know, once he's out, he can't get back in. I said, well, mate, there might be more than one up there. I don't know how many's up there. He said, why is that? And I said, well, the other night, it was like they were fighting. And he said, oh, okay. He said, mate, you sure they're fighting? I said, well, mate, sound like a fight. And he said, well, he said to me, he said, well, it could be, they could be mating. He said, sounds very similar.
Right.
And I said, well, what? It's like Maroon and Miss Portugal. Like anyway, so I said, well, mate, look, there's at least one up there. So anyway, he put the trapdoor in, and you know what? The first night, I heard him. He was obviously outside. I heard him then trying to get back in through the trapdoor, and I couldn't. He was scratching, moving around, so I thought, okay, he's outside. I got up, looked, the trapdoor had shut, so he can't get back in. The next night, I had the best sleep I've had in a month because I didn't get woken up in the morning. But then last night I'm in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm hearing this noise, like my tiles were moving on my roof. I thought, he's back, this bloke, and he's now trying to find other tiles to get through.
Now, when you say bloke, are you sure it's a male?
No, I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure. It's an equal opportunity program here, so it could be a female. But anyway, I went out. I ran outside. I couldn't help myself. I ran outside, and he's looking at me on the roof. it was a Mexican standoff, and I'm standing there. My feet were freezing because it was cold last night. And we're looking at each other, and I'm thinking, well, I'm an idiot here. Like, what can I actually do? He's on the roof. They say play possum. He just did not move. Like, he pretended I couldn't see him, but I could see him looking at me. But he just didn't move, and then we sat there and stared at each other for, I reckon, 10 minutes, and I thought, I don't know how much longer he's prepared to, but what can I do? Mm. So I've gone back in. He scratched around then I came back about an hour later and scratched around, and I'm hoping tonight, I'm thinking of getting the hose ready tonight, actually, just in case.
Hit him with the hose.
Hit him with the hose.
What about...
It was pretty fresh outside last night, too. What, did you have the dressing gown and the slippers on?
No, I went out bare feet in the shorts. So it was a bit brisk.
Would have been fresh.
Just before we go on, Gordy, can we have your possum noise again?
No, didn't you make it?
No, you made it, and we'd love it.
I don't know.
Please, it was. Go.
No, I don't. Listen. Right.
Well, maybe when we're not expecting
Stick the script.
So that's the latest on the possum. He's out of the roof.
He's come back in. Anthony. Yes. Anthony, Miss Portugal would not appreciate that. No.
It's turning you on, that possum noise.
I think I'm at home, yeah. All right. Boys, let's talk about State of Origin Game 1 at the beautiful Suncorp Stadium. It's going to be a massive night. Paul Kent, let me start with you. Who wins and why?
Oh, look, I like Queensland in the game. I think that the fact that they're playing at home, I think they've picked a really tough side. I like New South Wales. I think both sides are very good. I think it'll be... what I'm looking forward to most out of this game, I think, is going to be a throwback to a time when Origin was at its best. And this Queenslanders won't appreciate this because their time when Origin was at its best was when they won 11 out of 12 series. Mm. But from a New South Wales point of view, during that period, there was a sense of inevitability about... I'll get it out. About the result, and invariably it turned out that way. This time, though, it's dead set. It's a coin toss. I think it's just going to be a good old-fashioned guts and grind game. Unlike even in the Queensland dominant era... There was very much they were very systematic about the way they went about their win. They were just so good, so far better than New South Wales that they just put together a win and they just slotted it away. But this time, anything can happen. This is one of those games where the result could have 30 points difference. Most likely, they only have a couple of points difference, but you couldn't tell right now which way it'll go.
All right, but who do you tip to win?
I think Queensland, back based on the fact they're playing at home.
All right, Hoops.
Maroon, my heart says New South Wales. I look at the squad, and it's a strong squad. I don't think there's too many weaknesses in it, but my head does say. Be very aware of Queensland in enemy territory. And I think their record dating back to 1998 at Suncorp Stadium, they've won eight out of the last... New South Wales have only won 8 out of 27 games up there in that period. And we've seen so many times over the course of the last few seasons that it is hostile territory and it's so hard to win games up there. So I think for the Blues to win, they need to get everything absolutely spot on from the outset. So I'm going to tip the Blues, but I'm saying that more with my heart than my head.
Gordon, we need you to go with your head too, with your massive head. not your heart.
I know. Look, I think it's going to be a really good series. I think, you know, last year was a great series, and after all those legends leave the arena, you know, you thought, what were these two states going to toss up? It was a series that was unknown, and I really liked the way both states played, and it went down to the wire. I just like the way both sides are going about their business, really. I'm going to tip Queensland because I'm a Queenslander, and I think that, you know, and I'm thinking of the positives. I think Ben Hunt will get man of the match. I think what Cook does for New South Wales, I think Ben Hunt, like, that's his best position. I know that he mightn't want to play there, but as soon as he starts owning that number nine, he'll be brilliant. The forward pack, New South Wales probably have a little bit of an advantage there. I think we got an advantage in the halves. Latrell's a superstar, but I think, you know, if you go through our backs, you know, most of our guys would get a tick as well. I think that we got a better back line, they got a better back row, but, mate, at the end of the day, it doesn't come down to talent, state of origin. It comes down to passion. It comes down to you doing something that your state needs you to do, that your teammate beside you needs you to do, and whichever guys do that, they'll just go on to win the game. It's as simple as that.
All right. So we've got 2-1 Queensland, 1-1 New South Wales, and, of course, game one, you'll be this Wednesday night. Yes, Hoops.
Who do you like, Anthony?
I was going New South Wales, but I think I'm going to go Queensland. I think Queensland. What I do know is I'll be at Bankstown RSL with Finchy and Alex Johnson for the big function. Yes.
Well. Bankstown RSL.
Yeah, Bankstown RSL, which I'm, as you know, an ambassador. Well, anyway, Kenty, you got a big week ahead of you. We'll catch you on Fox League.
You will. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Hoops, you'll be hanging around for another hour. We'll be joined by Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, good.
And then you'll be with us for another half an hour too, Gordy, and yes, then you're off to call the game, the Gold Coast and the Cowboys.
Yes, I will be, Anthony.
And believe it or not, you can still get tickets for that one. Ryan Girdler joins us shortly.
You keep on digging at us, mate.
Mate, I'm having a little joke with you.
Yeah.
I'm having a little joke. Anyway, we're going to take a break.
When was the last time Southfield a stadium?
Oh, well, they won the 2014 grand final almost by a record store. We'll come back and we'll talk with Ryan Girdler. Score as Triple M. Store. Footy.